from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DiMello talks with Father Roger Landry about what the Pope of the Family, St. John Paul II, has to say about pastoral care of families. And because this is Father's Day weekend, Dan Burke talks with author Randy Hain about his new book, Journey to Heaven, A Roadmap for Catholic Men. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DiMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register, and Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest today, Father Roger Landry, is pastor of St. Bernadette Parish in Fall River, Massachusetts. Father Landry writes for many Catholic publications, including a weekly column for The Anchor. That's the weekly newspaper of the Diocese of Fall River. Father was an on-site commentator for EWTN's coverage of the 2013 papal conclave that elected Pope Francis. He appears often on various Catholic radio programs, and he's a national chaplain for Catholic Voices USA. Today, Father will talk about what the Pope of the Family, St. John Paul II, has to say about pastoral care of families.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be with you and with all the listeners.
Father Landry, back in April, Pope Francis called Pope John Paul the Pope of the Family. Why does our new Saint Pope John Paul actually merit this wonderful title, the Pope of the Family?
For his entire life of serving the family on behalf of Almighty God, when he was a young priest in Krakow, he recognized that the communists were trying very much to destroy every institution that would compete with its authority over people's lives. And so one of the most important institutions to destroy was the family. And so as a young priest, working with college students fundamentally at the Technical University and then teaching at the University of Lublin, he wanted to prepare them for family life, to disabuse them of some of the programming that the communists had given. And so he started to do these little workshops for young people. He wrote plays, as you know, like his famous jeweler shop.
Right.
He taught what became his great book, Love and Responsibility, at the University of Lublin, the Catholic University in Poland, so that people would know the real importance of love. Then eventually he tried to help the Holy Father on his birth control commission. It was hard for him to get out of Krakow, but he put together, after the Second Vatican Council, a huge interdisciplinary committee to try to help family life and give guidance to the overall church. He wrote his famous Theology of the Body while his predecessor, John Paul I, was being elected. And then throughout his pontificate, he gave us those five beautiful years of catechesis on human love and the divine plan, which we call his Theology of the Body. He wrote his great apostolic exhortation on Familiaris Consortio, on the real importance of the family under challenge today. And I think one of his least heard of but most beautiful contributions in his 26-plus years as Pope was his letter to the families of the world, saying that the whole future of humanity passes through the good of the family. And if we want to have a solid future, not just in the church, but in society, we really have to prioritize the family. And so I was thrilled at his canonization when Pope Francis called him the Pope of the Family. Mm-hmm. And I think from the Father's house, that brought a real smile to his Polish cheeks.
Of course it did. Now, the letter to families was written in 1994, but in 1981, I believe it was, there was a document called Familiaris Consortio that was actually a post-synodal document. So there was a synod on the family, and then this document came out. And right now we're preparing for another synod on the family. It's very important that the first part of this begins in October of this year. But much to some people's surprise, there hasn't been that much talk about Pope John Paul's teaching in light of the upcoming synod. In fact, this led Cardinal Caffara of Bologna, who was a collaborator with Pope John Paul on the teaching of marriage and family, to just be completely flabbergasted about the fact that his teachings were absent in this discussion. You have made some comments. You wrote something for the Register on this very topic that explains some reasons why the Pope's teachings may not be included right now at this moment as we prepare for the Synod. What's going on here?
So I think when we look at John Paul II's corpus of all that he's given us about marriage and family, it does require some serious study. And what I've observed over the course of the time of my priesthood, because I teach a lot of my brother priests about John Paul II's teachings on the family, as well as I've helped various bishops put together some thoughts that they've done, that a lot of them have never really had the time to make that a specialty. I was very grateful that I was able to dedicate 2 years of my life to studying it when I was over in Rome preparing to be a priest. Many haven't had the luxury of that type of time. And so there are certain segments of the world in which there haven't been others who could do the work for them and help them to assimilate this incredible treasure more easily so that they'd be able to pass it on. I particularly think in areas of the world like Latin America, where it took a long time for the theology of the body to be translated adequately into Spanish, and it still hasn't really penetrated a lot of the diocesan marriage prep programs or parish continuing formation of families. So that's one of the issues that's there, I think, quite clearly. I also think that in some places it's been misunderstood. You know, here in the United States, we've really led the entire world in assimilating John Paul II's teachings, particularly in the theology of the body. But some of the major proponents of the theology of the body have taught it in a way that has confused people in other parts of the world who are only getting it through what we call the secondary sources. And so, for example, if the theology of the body is treated mainly as a theology of human sexuality, and especially against an inherited sort of puritanism with regard to sexuality, that sexuality is bad, it's only for children, you're only doing your duty, etc. There are many other parts of the world that have never had those hang-ups, and if that's what the theology of the body is, they say, then I'm not really interested. The problem is that's not what the theology of the body is. It is so much broader. It points to what God has revealed to us in the book of Genesis, what God has revealed to us throughout sacred scripture about who the human person is, male and female, and how we're never really going to find ourselves and find happiness unless we learn the nuptial meaning of our existence, that we're made to give of ourselves unselfishly, like a loving husband and a wife gives themselves to each other in marriage. We're meant to do that first to God and then for others. And so it's those foundations that provide the premises for the conclusions of the Church's teachings with regard to marriage, family, love, and sexuality. And that's why it's so urgent, but many haven't yet been properly exposed. That's what we need to remedy.
This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Father Roger Landry, who is pastor of St. Bernadette Parish in Fall River, Massachusetts, and he's also the National Chaplain of Catholic Voices, USA. Now, Father Landry, you have described so well this beautiful theology of the body, and in this article you wrote for the Register on Pope John Paul and the Synods of the Family, you've also talked about how this is a remedy for today's, the sickness in the family today. You mentioned that it's a response to Pope Francis's call to go out and to the peripheries. And I want you to describe to our listeners why. Why is this a remedy? Sometimes it seems like it's too lofty. It's too ideal. But really, you're saying, no, this works. This is a medication for the sickness of our times.
Pope Francis, in his interview on the plane coming back from Brazil in World Youth Day last summer, said, and the media has really played this quite a bit, that we shouldn't be obsessing about secondary issues, but be fundamentally preaching the primary issue of what he calls the kerygma, the simple proclamation that Jesus loves us, he died on the cross for us, he walks with us still, he wants to lead us into the fullness of love and joy, that's what people have got to hear first, rather than a long litany of thou shalt nots. Many of the people hearing this thought that, you know, if the church is insisting too much on areas of sexuality or contraception or abortion or things like that, that the essential message of the resurrection, of God's presence, of God's call to heaven, if we respond, that would get lost. And so many were a little bit shaky, including in some of the places where I've gone to teach the theology of the body, they were almost feeling a little rebellious because of the way that it had been played in the media. But one of the things that I wrote about in that article that's appearing this weekend in the Register is that the context that Pope Francis says is absolutely essential if people are going to be able to insert the church's teachings with regard to human sexuality within the big picture of loving one another as God has loved us first, that the context for that is given to us by the theology of the body. What we see is the great plan of salvation history for us involves growing in the image and likeness of God, who is love, and calls us to love one another in the same self-sacrificial way that Jesus gave himself to us first. Then when we start to look at some of Pope Francis's other statements, like the church is supposed to be a field hospital in battle, we need to recognize that there are a lot of wounded people out there, and where do the wounds come from? So many of the wounds come from the failure to live by God's teachings about love and sexuality and family and marriage, that the broken families create very difficult wounds to heal, that broken hearts, the various other complications that come from sexual diseases when people aren't really living in chaste ways and the rest of it, all of that needs to be addressed. And if we're going to be in that field hospital, we have to recognize that there's a little bit of a war going on, that there are that the devil's existing. He's sure. trying to destroy families today, just like he tried to destroy that bond between Adam and Eve and the first family. And what we need to do is we need to take the medicine of Christ's teachings about love, sexuality, marriage, and family out to a world with these wounds, because that's the balm that we very much need to dispense.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, and I hope that balm is expensed much more quickly than it has been in these years. But I do want to know, how will this reach the Synod? I mean, how does this teaching actually get pumped in to this discussion at the Synod? We don't have a lot of time, but do you have some insights on how that might happen?
Well, the first thing, what I'm trying to do by shedding a little bit of light on it is, there are going to be lots of invitations that are going to be given for participants in the Synod. And I'm really hoping, and working behind the scenes too, to make sure that we have some experts in the theology of the family, of the Pope of the family, St. John Paul II. The second thing is, they're still working on what's called the Instrumentum Laboris, the working document that's going to guide the conversations when they come together this October. I'm hoping over the course of time that we can get much more of St. John Paul II's great treasure of his writings involved there. If we're able to do those two things, we're going to be able to have the light he gives us to guide us through some of the darkness of the modern issues with regard to family, marriage, and sexuality.
Wonderful. Well, I have to remind our listeners to continue to pray for this synod. Of course, the family touches all of us. It's where we come from. It's what we dwell in, and we need to have beautiful, holy families. To read more about Father Landry's thoughts on this topic, you can go to ncregister.com and to the article St. John Paul II and the Synods on the Family. Father Landry, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been great being with you, Jeanette and Tom, and all the listeners to Register Radio.
When we return, Dan Burke will talk with author Randy Hain about his new book of special interest to Catholic men, so don't go away. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
Dr. Ray Guarendi talks about the National Catholic Register.
The Register is catechetical news. In other words, it teaches the news from the perspective of the catechism. And you can learn all kinds of good things about the church and faithful living through the Register. They cover a wide, wide range. Catechesis, explaining the faith, what's going on in the world, in the Vatican. Good, solid Catholic journalism. The Register helps people cut through the spin. There's no spin in the Register. It is faithful Catholic teaching, analyzing of the news from a Catholic perspective.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Randy Hain, is a devoted Catholic husband, father, business leader, consultant, and an award-winning author. Randy is a popular national speaker. He is fluent in men's issues, authentic business relationships, and the integration of work, life, and faith. Randy's the co-founder and senior editor of the fast-growing Integrated Catholic Life e-magazine. He is also the co-founder of the Atlanta Catholic Business Conference. He authored Along the Way, Lessons for an Authentic Journey of Faith, also the Catholic Briefcase, Tools for Integrating Faith and Work, and his new book, Journey to Heaven, A Roadmap for Catholic Men.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Randy, this is Dan Burke. Delighted to have you on Register Radio and talk about your latest book, Journey to Heaven, Roadmap for Catholic Men, of course, published by great publisher Emmaus Road Publishing. And you've done a great job and done great work with Deacon Bickerstaff in Atlanta in helping men and women who are in the business world really come to a deeper understanding of how to live out their faith. And, of course, have built up a great web presence in the Integrated Catholic Life. And so out of all of that interaction, I think, Randy, you continue to write in a way that I think is in the Catholic writing world among the most eminently practical insights into our faith, how to live out our faith, and Journey to Heaven, a Roadmap for Catholic Men is just another fantastic product of all of the great work you're doing. With respect to this particular book, what is it that inspired you to address a book specifically to Catholic men?
Well, thank you. I'm humbled by the kind words. It's been, you know, not only have I come into the church, I came in 2006 with my wife and sons, you know, and I've been writing about integrating faith and work and other things, but I've also been on a journey as a Catholic man. So as I've been, you know, just being more cognizant of my journey and where I'm going and how I'm growing in my faith and writing about those things, I've also been encountering just countless Catholic men around the country through my talks and through Integrated Catholic Life who are also going through similar struggles. And I just felt that it was time to put a book out that was practical. You know, I study our faith all the time, Dan, as do you, but I really don't ever pretend to be a theologian. I want to write about, you know, my perspectives as a layman, as a husband and a father, and just as a Catholic man. And that's what this book is about, is the practical ways that all of us can live out our faith and grow in our faith. And I was really blessed also to encounter a number of great Catholic men who were part of the book, including yourself. So I just felt it was time to get that sort of practical roadmap in the hands of men, and it's been extremely well received. Been very blessed.
Well, and there's a unique approach that you've taken in this text where you address a particular subject, whether it be prayer, marriage and leadership, honoring our wives, the fathers instructing their children, and then you interview key people that you feel like have either added value to your lives in that area, into your life in that area, or just had some wisdom to bring to the table. What made you think of that approach?
Well, you know, it's I'm always humble enough to tell you that I don't know everything, and I certainly struggle in a lot of those areas. So I wanted to honestly write about, you know, where I've been challenged, what I'm doing about it, very importantly, what our church teaches about that aspect, that piece of the book. But then I wanted to get another voice. And as you said, I've been really blessed to encounter so many great Catholic men, yourself included, who have just taught me a lot, who I follow their example. And I wanted other Catholic men to learn from these great guys. And I didn't really have a master plan. I prayed as I was writing the chapters, and I prayed for, you know, the right person to come along. And most of the men in the book were invited to be in it as I was doing the chapter. So it really hopefully have a dose of the Holy Spirit in it.
Yeah, and I think it really makes the read a lot more interesting. So the book is broken up into three sections: faith, family, and work in the public square. Just out of curiosity, as you travel around the country and speak so frequently, and also you're writing and blogging so frequently, have you found any a reaction to any particular aspect of the book that was surprising to you?
You know, a couple of things have been very interesting is men have really been drawn to the call for courage. in a very positive way, because I don't beat people over the head in the book. That's not the intention. It's a really warm embrace and maybe a gentle slap against the back of the head, as one person said. But it's really an embrace and an invitation to be more courageous and step up to our vocation. And men have been responding to that with, you know, thank you, and thank you for also giving me the guideline to follow. The other thing that's surprising is how many women have just been real excited about the book. They find that it's very helpful for them to understand their husbands, their sons, their fathers. So I've had women really get excited about what the book offers them. So I think, the men, the call to courage, and women's just really strong interest in the book has been very surprising and encouraging.
This is Dan Burke with EWTN's National Catholic Register, Register Radio. We're on with Randy Hain, the author of Journey to Heaven, A Catholic Roadmap, or A Roadmap for Catholic Men. It is a fantastic book. Randy, tell me a bit about, from the standpoint of, you know, when you write a book, and you've written so many, there's always something at the center, something that motivated you and drove you to write it, or there's a central truth that you began with that really animated the whole work. Can you tell me a bit about what's behind the scenes here about bringing this book to life?
Yeah, you know, it's every book, every good book, I think, begins with prayer. And I often pray about my blogs, my articles, and the books I write. And, you know, when I finish a book, first of all, I pray for peace and some sleep. But once I get past that, I pray for discernment about the next topic. And, you know, all I have to do is just think about my life and what I'm interested in, and I'll offer that up to God. And those things are, you know, if it's the right thing, I just know it. In this book, I had a feeling last year, last summer, that it was the right time, and I was really fortunate that the publisher came to Atlanta to visit with me and asked me to do the book. So I just knew it was the right time and the right theme, and God has blessed the work, and I think it's all good work should come out that way.
A fantastic publisher, Emmaus Road Publishing, is committed to the magisterium and the faith, and a publisher that's alive and producing some great works. What are the, in chapter one, which is in your section on faith, you talk about the obstacles between us and Christ. And of course, again, this is from the perspective of Catholic men. What do you see as the greatest obstacles between Catholic men and growth in their faith in Christ?
You know, well, there are, I think, a number of things, but I wanted to start that way because I like to sort of use the image of peeling back the onion. And I wanted to start with the thing that was really first and foremost an issue is, you know, men have piled up a lot of garbage between themselves and our Lord. And let's get rid of that. Let's start with the right things, get the right priorities in order. And I wanted to identify those obstacles. So stuff like pride, lack of a prayer life, misunderstanding our vocations, not being courageous enough, pornography, lukewarmness about our faith, being cafeteria Catholics, the diminished manhood in our culture. These are things that are clear obstacles. And then the book really just deals with getting rid of them one by one.
Now, Randy, you one of these is key, I think, in our culture with men, and that is this, I don't know, spinelessness, this abdication. You know, men do get beat up in the secular media when we act the way God has designed us to act, even in a holy way, we're not looked upon in such a positive way. How can Catholic men really regain the role of leadership they're called to and strengthen that spine and really lead and make a difference in their lives, the lives of their family and the society around them?
Well, it's going to take some clear and courageous choices. You know, if you have something in your life and you want to put something good in your life, you're going to have to get rid of the things that are bad. And if you want more faith, if you want more prayer, if you want more anything, you're going to have to get rid of the things that are in the way. So if you've got too much TV, too much internet time, too much whatever, you're going to have to get rid of those things in order to put the good things in your life. So I think men are really going to have to face the fact that there are priorities and there are choices to make. They're going to have to turn their backs on the secular culture. They're going to have to stop believing the lies about themselves, about manhood in general. They're going to have to stop living up to the role model of Homer Simpson and start living up to the modern-day example of St. Joseph. They're going to have to start being St. Joseph instead of, you know, these other models that are out there. So I think all of these things are going to require courage and better choices. But there has to be a desire and a passion to want to grow and change and also raise their kids in such a way that they'll know that they had a father in their life. Their wives will know that they were married to a strong man, and that marriage and the family will be important, and their kids will carry that forward as something that they learned from their father. These are all things that have to be chosen, and I think that men have to make that choice.
You know, you have a great point in here that I think is really critical to men growing, and this idea of accountability and meeting with other men or another man to hold one another accountable to, you know, spiritual goals, spiritual growth, positive role modeling in their family. Tell me a bit about your thoughts on accountability man to men.
Well, you know, fraternal correction is a very, very good thing. And I think men, we have a tendency to not want to open up and share what's really going on. And we have a real struggle with admitting weakness. But it's so important to be able to look another man in the eye and say, you know, look, I'm going through the same thing you are, or I noticed that you've been struggling. Can you help me? And having that brother there for you. And there are so many great avenues through the Catholic Church. We've got the Knights of Columbus. We've got men's groups. There are so many things that we can do in our parishes to get involved with other great Catholic men. So I encourage guys to not live in silos and reach out across the barrier. I think Brian Caulfield, who is the head of communications for the Knights, has a great offering in the book about the importance of Catholic brotherhood, Catholic male brotherhood. So I encourage guys to get out there and find that buddy or buddies who can really keep them focused on what's important and encourage them as well.
Randy Hayne, the book is Journey to Heaven, A Roadmap for Catholic Men. I strongly recommend it. I think that any Catholic man, no matter where you are in your faith walk, can pick this up, and it will take you further. Randy, thanks for your service to the Church, and thank you for being with us on Register Radio.
Thank you. God bless you, Dan, for your ministry, and I'm really grateful for you.
Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.